All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time for another Howie Mel piece. Howie is here talking about transamic acid. Transamic acid. Oh my gosh, that's so hard to say. TXA. For the use in pre-hospital care, you know, you got the person there bleeding. We had a big crash 2 trial. It said number needed to treat around 70 to prevent one death. There was some sort of controversy about whether that was extrapolatable to a US population. A lot of places are now using it. Even at USC, it's being used at times. What about in the pre-hospital care setting? We have a bit of a soliloquy, a bit of a rant, a bit of a Howie Mel session for your discussion. All right, here we go, Howie Mel.
Hi, Mel. Thanks for having me back. I'd like to talk today about tranexamic acid, or TXA, use in trauma patients. If you've been following International Trauma Life Support, you'd find that they've recently come out with a position statement regarding the use of tranexamic acid in the management of traumatic hemorrhage in the field. Their conclusion is, quote, ITLS believes that there is sufficient evidence to support the use of TXA in the management of traumatic hemorrhage pursuant to system medical control approval. Following initial resuscitation, including control of external bleeding and stabilization of airway, consideration should be given to administration of TXA during the early stages of transport, close quote. The use of TXA in the pre-hospital environment is an emerging trend in the United States, and it shows a lot of promise. Now, I do need to announce my bias. I have the honor of being the medical director for the Newark, Ohio Fire Department. Newark has the distinction of being the first units to place TXA on their ground ALS ambulances. We began doing this March 27th of 2013, so we've got about a year and a half's experience in doing this, and I gotta tell you, it really does seem to work to help control hemorrhage in our most severely injured patient population. Now, we teamed up with Dr. David Evans and his team at the Ohio State University, which is our receiving hospital for Newark Fire. It's about 45 minutes away under the best of circumstances. And so we really had a period where unstable patients were left to just get fluid resuscitation, and we needed to do something. Now, there were two major studies out at the time, and a third has come out since, that shows that TXA really is useful in the patient experiencing life-threatening hemorrhage.
Study 1.
The first study is the clinical randomization of an antifibrinolytic in significant hemorrhage 2, or the CRASH 2 study. Now, this had many papers published from it, and several pre-planned and nested studies were contained within it, because this was a randomized, placebo-controlled, double-blinded study with an N of 20,000. It was carried out in Western Europe, Sub-Saharan Africa, and India, which has led to some questions to its generalizability. Many critics of this study point out that there were really no hard and fast inclusion criteria. It was merely the clinical gestalt of the treating physician as to whether or not the patient needed to be enrolled in the study, and if it was felt that they had a significant trauma, they were enrolled. And while the two study arms were randomized appropriately, and they came out looking a lot alike statistically, the question is, would the same care be given in America, or would we look to have a particular marker? But when we look at some of the sub-analyses that were contained within CRASH 2, we find a very important one that seems to indicate that the drug is the most effective if it can be given within 1 hour after injury. In fact, it goes on to state that if you give it more than 3 hours after injury, you actually could probably do some harm. And so I would opine that it really tells us that this is absolutely generalizable. Because realistically, within 1 hour of injury in most of the United States, you're not going to be in a level one trauma center. You're either going to be in the hands of EMS, or you're going to be in the hands of an outlying hospital that will transfer you to a level one trauma center as needed. And so it very much mimics the study centers. The folks who are dealing with the patients out in the field are very similar to some of those third world conditions. They've got nothing else besides clinical gestalt, minimal diagnostic equipment, and a good old fashioned acumen to decide whether or not somebody is significantly injured enough to need the drug. Likewise, some level three trauma centers or hospitals that are not trauma centers that may receive some of these patients as an initial stabilizing step could be much akin to some of the more sophisticated hospitals that were included in this study, where they did have some diagnostic capabilities, but were not going to be the definitive site of treatment. And again, The study really showed that there was a 1.5% reduction in all-cause mortality 28 days out without any significant adverse effects. And so we need to wonder, really, is it generalizable if we push the time frame earlier? Is it generalizable if we include the first facility to treat the patient or the first team in the form of EMS? And I would say, yes, yes it is. And for that reason, we instituted it at the Newark Fire Department, and it's worked just brilliantly. Now, the number needed to treat out of the Crash 2 trial for all comers was 67, which is a bit high, except when you consider that the drug only cost us $107 to administer a single dose. That's right, $107. So for an N of 67, we're going to spend about $7,000 to save a life, and that works for me. Now, the dosing scheme for the Crash 2 trial was 1 gram over 10 minutes, followed by a second gram over 8 hours, and we'll get to how we did that on the fire department in just a minute.
Study 2.
The second trial that seemed to suggest that all of this worked was the military application of tranexamic acid in trauma emergency resuscitation, or the MATTERS trial. Now, this was an observational trial, but it's important because it suggested that as the patient was more and more injured, the number needed to treat fell significantly. In fact, in this observational study, while the TXA group, interestingly, was more significantly injured, they had a much lower mortality rate. And when we got to the most severely injured group, the number needed to treat fell as low as 7.
Study 3.
Since the MATTERS trial, there has now been MATTERS 2, which was a randomized placebo-controlled study that looked at cryoprecipitate, tranexamic acid, both, or placebo. And while the best outcomes were with cryoprecipitate and tranexamic acid arm alone still was independently associated with markedly decreased mortality. So again, it seems to support this. Crash 3 is currently in the protocol stage and has an expected publication date sometime in 2018. Also running right now is the PATCH trial, which is happening in Australia, looking at the pre-hospital administration of tranexamic acid for the control of hemorrhage. And so we look forward to that data. But thus far, TXA has been successful in reducing mortality from serious bleeding with no statistically significant concerns for complications of clotting. And we need to look at the way tranexamic acid works.
How it works.
Geek out with me here for a second, okay? We need to understand how this drug works because this idea that it could cause DVTs or PEs or make your blood too thick is simply bunk. What happens when we have an injury is we make a fibrin clot right away. But literally, as soon as we make the fibrin clot, we begin to make the factors to break it down. Our bodies release TPA, and that TPA binds with plasminogen to make plasmin, which breaks down the fibrin clot. And in trauma, that gives us two problems. One, the clot's gone, so we can continue to bleed. The second is that if we break down enough of these clots, let's say after a massive or widespread trauma, the products that are given off from that can lead to a coagulopathy, which can make you bleed out even worse. And so the ideal drug for controlling trauma bleeding would be one that actually stabilizes that fibrin clot somehow. Enter TXA. Because what TXA does is it binds to a lysine binding site on the plasminogen so that when it combines with the TPA, the plasmin that's created is inactive and simply doesn't work. This keeps that initial clot in place so that it doesn't break down, doesn't create the degradation products or the coagulopathies, and maintains homeostasis. But it's important to note, it can't cause a DVT or a PE. It doesn't work that way. It's a completely different mechanism. It's not thrombogenic. It literally just stabilizes the fibrin clot that's there. Now, we know from the planned sub-analysis of the Crash 2 data that TXA is simply the most effective if it's given within 1 hour after the injury. Now, this isn't door to drug time like we are used to measuring things in quality. This is injury to drug time. And given how soon it has to be given, it really is in EMS's wheelhouse and perhaps to some degree in some outlying hospitals because the majority of patients are not arriving at major trauma centers within 1 hour after their injury. And so we really need to consider putting this to the EMS's wheelhouse, the EMS's control. Now, it's important to note that data also show that if you give this drug greater than 3 hours after injury, you actually, not only is it not effective, but it can cause some harm. And that makes sense, because by that point, you do want to start to have the normal processes of the body kicking in and really working. Now, it's also more effective when it's coupled with a blood component-based resuscitation effort. And for that reason, it's also been included in a lot of mass transfusion protocols. And those of us who work in outlying centers and level 3 trauma centers, or in hospitals that are not trauma centers that are going to be transferring these patients, it's still worth it to put TXA into your formulary and have it available as part of a mass transfusion protocol, perhaps combining it with cryoprecipitate. But we really need to look at using this, especially in the pre-hospital setting. And so I would recommend that for those of you who are EMS medical directors, that you implement a standing order for tranexamic acid for your patients that are significant trauma patients that are not going to make it to your trauma center within 1 hour after their injury. And for those of you who aren't EMS medical directors, if you work at a hospital that is not a trauma center, that you really work to get this into your trauma transfer protocols so that you can get the drug in the timely enough fashion to really help your patients.
Dosing.
Now, I said that we would go over dosing, because one of the concerns is anytime we're going to be giving a drug that we've got to give over 10 minutes, we start getting into the question of, geez, do we need to get pumps or other expensive things in order for us to give it via the fire department? And the answer here is no, you don't need to. We've put together a little kit on the Newark Fire Department. What we did was we put the following things into a Ziploc bag. We put the tranexamic acid, which actually comes 1 gram in 10 mLs of liquid, a 10 ml syringe, a filter needle, because the drug comes packaged in an ampule, an injection needle, a 50 cc bag of normal saline, and some 10 cc per ml drip tubing. We also put in there a bracelet that says TXA given. It's a lot like one of the ones that you'd get from a county fair that tells you, you know, you've had enough rides. And we did that so that the trauma team knows that the first dose of TXA was given so that they could give that second dose over 8 hours. And we put all those things together into a nice Ziploc bag. Now, in order to give the drug over 10 minutes, what you do is you draw up the drug into your 10 ml syringe and you inject those 10 mls of fluid into that 50 ml bag of normal saline. This gives you a bag with 60 cc's of fluid containing 1 gram of the drug. You then hang the 10 drip tubing attached to this bag. So you've got 60 mls of fluid, or 600 drips, and it just so happens that there are 600 seconds in 10 minutes. Set the drip at 1 drip per second. Voila! No need for a pump, and you're going to get it in there in just about 10 minutes, give or take, and it'll be close enough for government work. This works very easily, very well. As long as you don't spill that ampule originally, you're going to do good and get that drug in and on board. And again, the components of this kit, which we'll put a picture of on the website, costs a whole $107, making it a very cheap drug to implement. Now, I am not here to tell you that TXA will do better than a 1-to-1-to-1 transfusion protocol, nor am I here to tell you that it'll do better than cryoprecipitate or any number of tools that are available to our trauma surgeons in our major academic centers. I agree with those trauma surgeons who say that they can do better than TXA can do by just managing the patient that's in front of them. Where it will work, and where it does work better than what we have currently available, is on the side of the road 45 minutes away from the trauma center, or in the small, maybe freestanding emergency department that gets the walk-in trauma that is suffering from a significant hemorrhage. The proper use of TXA is all about proper patient selection. It shouldn't be given willy-nilly to everybody. It shouldn't be given to patients where there are better surgical alternatives available, but it darn well should be given when there's not.
Closing thoughts.
And that is my take-home message today. When you're faced with a patient who is going to bleed out from their significant hemorrhage before you can get them to the trauma center, give them a little TXA. It's good stuff, and it works well. Thanks for having me again, Mel. It's been great to talk with the MRAP audience, and for those of you out in the field, stay safe. We need you out there.
Well, thanks, Howie. Obviously, Howie thinks that this is good stuff. There are still some concerns on the part of a lot of people that The external validity of the original CRASH II trial, which was done in 274 study sites, but mostly in low-income and middle-income countries, may not be directly applicable to first-world countries. But if you are going to use it, then it does appear that you should use it early. Recent study in The Lancet suggests, you know, in less than 3 hours. So the earlier, the better, if you're going to use this stuff. So using it in the pre-hospital care setting makes sense. I personally reserve the right to say, yes, you should use this right now. It seems to be working in the current trials, but let's see what happens in the next series of trials that are coming in the next few years, because it may not work as well as we think. I'm always concerned in any trial, even a large trial, where the external validity is a concern. And I think that is true. I think there are concerns. But Howie might be right. The concern might be inappropriate because what happened in the original trial was it is done in places where there wasn't a trauma center next door that didn't do all the other stuff that we do. Then in places with long pre-hospital care times and freestanding ERs might be exactly the place where this stuff works. And so it makes logical sense in that it appears to be safe and it's relatively inexpensive and a number needed to treat of 70 that maybe this shouldn't be used in large trauma centers with 15,000 surgeons right there and lots of other blood products to be given immediately. But it should in fact be given, if it is to be given, in pre-hospital care settings where there are longer hospital transport times. So Howie may indeed be right, and we'll see what happens in the next few years. And if you've got any more questions or discussion, throw it up on the website, and we can also get you in touch with Howie directly.